Genesis 30, verse 25 to 31, verse 21. I'm looking at this passage again, having looked at Laban, the man of the world. I now turn to Jacob, the man of God. Now Jacob, as we have seen time and again, is by no means can we call him perfect. He is far from perfect. We've seen him cheating, lying, scheming, deceiving his blind father, and so on. We've seen he's a very sharp dealer. He knows how to arrange and manipulate things. There are many bad things about Jacob. But we do know that God has chosen him and appointed him and called him and set him to be the next in the great line of the covenant from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And in this passage here, although I can't say again that he comes out absolutely 100% perfect, nevertheless, there are some marks of the godly man here. He seems to have learned by experience. After all, he's been 20 years in the service of Laban, and he's had many experiences. So as an older man now, looking back over his life, we can see that God has been dealing with him. Let me just briefly give some of the points I see here that stand in this passage about the man of God. And I want to test myself. I want to be this man of God. I want to emulate Jacob in all the good points. I want to have the new covenant application of all this. As I read the letters in the New Testament, at the end of the letters, I see such practical teaching about love and affection and faith and courage and boldness and spirituality. I see the principles here in the life of Jacob, and I want to see them worked out in my life. And I'm preaching this for myself, and I hope every believer listening to me, man and woman, that we'll all want to be true men and women of God. Well, let me start. Chapter 30, verse 25. This man desires the promise of God. What is the promise of God? The Abrahamic covenant, that God will bless this line and give this nation which he will form in this family. He will give them the land. Jacob says to Laban, "Send me on my way, so I can go back to my own homeland." Addressing his father-in-law, speaking about his wives, the daughters of Laban, he's saying, "I want to go back now with my wives and children." Verse 26. "I have served you. I have served you these many years. I want to be on my way. I have worked for you. Now I want to go back to my homeland." And this is more than just homesickness and "I want to go home." The land for the nation of Israel was so very important in this great covenant, leading up through the Mosaic covenant, the old covenant, leading on through David and the Davidic covenant, on to Christ and the glorious new covenant. Now, Jacob doesn't understand all this, of course, but there's the desire to be back in the land. "He's been a good servant," verse 26. "I've worked hard for you," he says. "You know how much I've done." Verse 29, "You know I've worked for you, and your livestock's fared under my care. You had little before I started. It's prospered here now. I've been a good servant to you. I've been a blessing to you. God has used me to increase you." Laban has to confess it. Verse 27, "I have learned that the Lord has blessed me because of you." Yes, Jacob has been a blessing in his generation. These are the principles coming over for me. Now, what do I see here? I want to desire the promise of God. I'm not in the line of the covenant in the sense of being the head of a covenant and that sort of thing. No, no, no. But God has made promises to me, and I want to inherit them. I want to love them, these exceeding great and precious promises, as Peter calls them in his letter. I want to be a good servant to the Lord and to my earthly masters and in my generation. And Jacob was a blessing, material blessing, yes, but let us hope for more than that. I want to be a blessing in my generation. Not just a material blessing, but a spiritual blessing to my family, to my friends, my acquaintances, even to my enemies. I want to be a blessing in my generation and on beyond my generation. He speaks up to Laban too. He has the courage to speak up, but he leaves his care to God. I want to go back, he says. He makes a straight request, and he's open about it. He cares for his own. I want to do something for my own household, verse 30. There's a principle here. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. We're denying the faith if we don't provide for our own. And the Thessalonians were slack in this matter, lazy, not working. We have to provide, those of us who are responsible. We are accountable. It's true spiritually, too. The Song of Solomon says, chapter 1 and verse 6, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I did not keep. There are many Christians who have to confess that they've been so busy about, as they would say, serving God, they've forgotten to serve God by bringing up their children properly in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Jacob cares for his own. I want to do something for my own household. Okay, he may be thinking financially, but nevertheless he wants to do something for his own, and financial things do come into it, 1 Timothy 5:8. He's willing to take a lower station. Don't give me anything, he says to Laban. Let the Lord lead it in this, the herds and so on. We've been over this history about the spotted in the street and so on. Now, I think Jacob is showing some of his old character here. But nevertheless, he is willing to take a lower station. He gives glory to God. Verse 30. The Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. It's not me being the blessing, it's the Lord has blessed you through me, he says to Laban. God has honored Jacob and been a blessing. He's honest, too. In that episode, verses 31 to 33, about the colored sheep and goats and so on, he hasn't stolen anything that's supposed to be Laban's by the coloring. He's an honest man. Now, he's been cheated many times, but he continues in patience. Verse 36, even on his way out, when he's separating his family and his own flocks and so on, he continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks, even as he's going. But this man has been cheated and been lied to and deceived and abused many times. Take verses 6 and 7 of chapter 31. You know I've worked for you, your father, speaking to his wives. You know I've worked for your father with all my strength. He's cheated me. He's changed my wages 10 times. And yet God has not allowed him to harm me. God has protected me. God has been with me, he says. Verse 4. He's obedient to the call of God. He says, I see that your father's attitude is not toward me, as it should be, and so on. He brings them out into the field, and he says, come on, we must go home. He knows the promises of God. Go back to your land, verse 3 of chapter 31, and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent word. There he's obedient, you see. See the word so. He's obedient to the call, and God is with him. But the Lord has been with me. God, the God of my father, has been with me, verse 5. God protected me, verse 7. The Lord has defended me, even though your father has changed my wages 10 times, verse 7. And God knows all about him. You see, the Lord spoke to Jacob. Verse 11, the angel of God said to him in a dream, Jacob, I answered, here am I. Here I am. And he said, look up and see, and so on. And the Lord directed him how to strengthen his own herds with these goats and sheep and so on, with the stakes. So God is with him, God is blessing him, God is looking after him, even though Laban is cheating him and lying to him and deceiving him. And God is honoring Jacob over these 20 years. And so God renews the covenant with him. I am the God of Bethel, verse 13, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. God has looked after him. God has blessed him. Jacob's been a blessing. He's been cheated and lied to, deceived. But he is still in the covenant, and God has been directing him. My brother and sister, all these are principles that come over and over to us. Caring for our families, being a blessing in our generation, suffering under bad treatment, looking to God, trusting in his promises to us, looking to him to help us, knowing his presence and his protection. His family are obedient with him too. Verse 16, they all come and they go with him, and they leave their own home. They're obedient to Jacob. He's a good husband, a good father, in this sense, at this time. He takes practical steps, too. In verse 37 and on, he trusts God's promise, but he obeys his word. He is seen how to do it, and he uses the almond and plane trees to make stakes to place near the herds when they're mating and so on. And so he gets the stronger of the flock. And he puts space between him and Laban and his family when they're moving. And in verse 4 of chapter 31, he sends word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields. He's got wisdom here and sense. So these are the principles I see. Let me give a New Testament text for all this. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Now, his material blessings here in the Old Covenant, this does not come over into the New. But God in his mercy does protect us, does bless us, does defend us, does keep us. Are you suffering at the moment, brother and sister? Are you being cheated, abused? Are things very difficult for you? Go on witnessing for God. Go on standing for God. I've just been reading in the Thessalonians how Thessalonians didn't appreciate, really, what they had with Paul there. But he loved them in despite of everything. And I see this in other letters with Paul, too. They won't pay him. They won't support him. And he has to write to them. People are worthy of their wages who serve you. But I'll take nothing. I won't let any man say that you've paid me. No, he's not asking for himself, but he is standing for the truth of the gospel and the principle of the gospel. Well, these are principles that come over into my life too. Jacob, the man of God, he desires God's blessing and God's favor. He praises him when he blesses him. He acknowledges him before others, before the world. He confesses the goodness and the grace and the power of God to him. But he's obedient to God. If God commands him, he goes. He walks, and he walked on in trust and faith. He's waiting for God to help him. But he's not passive. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, he works out what God works in. God shows him what to do, and he does it. And he waits patiently for God to bring success to him. Now, these are rambling remarks, I know. But these verses, Genesis 30 to 20, verse 25 to 31, 21, speak of two men, the man of the world and the man of God. I'm not saying the man of God in this case is a perfect man, but there's a vast difference between these two men. Which are you, my friend? Are you a child of God or a child of Satan? Are you in darkness and sin and corruption in Adam, or even brought into the liberty of Christ and the light of the gospel? Does it show in your life? Are you trusting, walking, in obedience to God, looking to him, giving him the glory, being a blessing in your generation, and hoping that your works will live after you, and like Abel, speak when you're dead? I know what I want to be. I want to be a man of God, in word, thought, and deed. If you've never begun, my friend, come to Christ now. Come to Christ now. And those of us who have begun, may we grow up into Christ in all things and reflect the glory and honor of Christ in our lives, so that the world, even the men of the world, have to confess that God is with you and you have been a blessing to us. Help us all, is my prayer, that we shall be men and women of God.